Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and are graciously grateful, Lord, for who you are. Lord, thank you for being the Savior that we needed. Thank you for being the King that we didn't expect, but the King that we needed. Lord, I pray as we go through this week, and today being Palm Sunday, and go through Holy Week, and then next week being Easter, Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts to your voice, open our minds. I pray that you would just continue to speak to us through this message, through the week, through everything going on, Lord, because we praise you, we love you, we are grateful for everything that you've done, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week, we were in the book of Acts still, and we concluded the story, or the history, I should say, of Stephen. You know, he was being stoned. There was no real way around saying it that way, but he was being stoned. And during those moments, while things were going on, while stones were hitting him most likely, he was still looking up. He was still looking forward. He was still looking to his Savior. He was not looking at what was going on. He was not in that moment. He looks past that. And we also remember that he saw Jesus standing there at the right hand of God, and he asks that their sins would not be held against them. He didn't resist. He didn't retaliate. He didn't attempt to stop what was happening. And that moment that we came from might put us in a position to ask a question. What kind of person, or better yet, what kind of king would you follow that would lead to a response like Stephen's? What kind of king leads to that response? And not just in theory, but in real life, in the moments where everything in you would want to push back, fight back, have resistance. What kind of king is it that makes the reaction the way Stephen did? To look beyond what was happening, to look to his Savior and say, Lord, just don't hold this against him. He was responding to the way Christ taught him to respond. And then today, we're going to step back into this moment, so we're kind of doing a little rewind, you know, and we are now looking at how we can better understand that. We're going to go back to the road leading into Jerusalem, where the city was filled with people and anticipation, and conversations about Jesus are happening all around. And people are moving towards the city and are not unsure about who they're following. They're happy, they're exclaiming, they have seen enough, they have heard, and they believe that he matters. They are ready and celebrating and shouting, Hosanna. And as we walk into this, what they believe is about to open up and come out into the open. But what they expected him to do, what they expect his life to be, is not actually what happened, what he came for. It was different. It's not the same thing. So when we walk into this moment and question who, what is already sitting in front of us, not just who Jesus was, but the king that he came to be. So this morning, my sermon is the king we didn't expect. Because as we start in Matthew 21, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. So they are close enough now that the city is ahead. They are walking. They are continuing their journey. This is in Jesus' ministry, his time. He is ministering to the disciples. He has a gathering now. This is the culmination of what he did for the past few years. And the following that has been built, he's now walking towards Jerusalem in that moment, saying to him, like, this is where we're going. And they have a clear view. But before they go any further, before they continue into the city, Jesus stops and sends two disciples forward. Actually, I'm going to do this. If you're sitting there, can you swap with him and go to the next slide? I'll have you. But just to kind of put a picture, so he sends two ahead of him. And it says, go to the village ahead of you. He says, at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. He does not say that they might find something. He does not say, go look for something. He specifically knows exactly what they will find. And he says, if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. And now the disciples are moving. They don't question it. They don't stop to sort things out. They're just strictly obedient. They go forward. They go into the village expecting to find exactly what Jesus said as described. And Jesus remains where he is, waiting for them to return. And in this moment, I kind of sit in my studying and I say, okay, Jesus is now waiting. Jesus could have walked, right? We think about that. Jesus could have just continued on to the city, but it's about understanding how Jesus was to enter into the city. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew everything that was about to happen. And he tells them to go ahead because he is going to show up in the way that he has been foretold to show up to them. But he's not reacting to anything. He tells them exactly what they will find, and then he waits. Because everything that's happening in this moment is really happening in the timing that Jesus knows about. And Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's walking towards. Nobody else does. The disciples don't even have a clear picture of what's going on, but Jesus knows. And he's calmly walking towards what he knows is about to happen. And that mentality, that kind of character of Christ is how I believe that we can see someone like Stephen, who we just came from the book of Acts talking about, why his demeanor was able to be that way. Because he was doing what he had seen through Christ. Just calm, collective. And if we go to the next slide, it says, this took place. If anyone says to anything, say to the Lord needs them, and they will send them right away. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to your daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you. So this isn't just happening as it was spoken. This is Jesus deliberately stepping into what God has already declared. He is stepping into what has already been foretold in the right way. The king, the kind of king he is choosing to be, has not been decided at this moment. It has been foretold, and he is now revealing what has always been true, that Jesus will ride in to say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So they have heard these words before. And the way Jesus is choosing to enter Jerusalem is tied to what God has already spoken. And it is happening right in front of them. But another thing that I wonder is, do you think it clicked in that moment? How many of us think about something and we're just like our mind focuses on one thing so we don't see anything else around it? Right? I actually was doing what most of us might do. It's not the best thing in the world, but scrolling through TikTok aimlessly, you're just like, nope, nope. So I have a timer on my phone. It tells me, it goes blank, and it's like, would you like to ask for more time? And I'm like, probably shouldn't. And that means I've spent a lot of time on this app today. But as I was scrolling through, one of them popped up, and it was this whole story I won't get into, but it said basically, what is blue in this picture? And I wish I would have thought of this ahead of time and found the picture. Where it's like, what is blue? And your mind is like, what is blue? What is blue? What is blue? I'm gonna win, right? And you get there and you're like, blue, 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 blue. And you're like, okay, there's there's these things. And then it scrolls back to him after a few, like 5 seconds or so, because you're focused. And he's like, you saw everything that was blue. What was yellow? And you're like, no. I'm like, I don't even remember seeing yellow in this picture. And then he goes back to the picture, and it's just a yellow vase sitting in the corner. And you're like, huh, it's been there the whole time, right? So I think about this kind of moment where Jesus has been telling them who he is going to be, what they're going to see as they walk into Jerusalem, what they're doing. And they're so fixated at times, just like we are, of their own life or their own things that are going on, that I wonder if they just truly don't see what is happening in this moment. They're like, okay, I'm gonna go get Jesus a colt, I'm gonna bring it back to him, and we're gonna continue. But this was foretold, and Jesus was entering Jerusalem the way that God had said he would. So the disciples return with the donkey and the colt. There was no change to this plan. They bring exactly what they told him to bring. They do exactly what they told him to do. They brought the donkey on a colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. So the cloaks weren't probably anything to make him look impressive. It was just they were using what they had to give Jesus a seat to sit on. They were giving their cloaks. And they simply follow this. They take what belongs to them, remove it, and put it on the colt so that Jesus can sit, and Jesus gets on. Now, when you picture when kings would ride into situations like this, when they would come into a city, it was usually filled with an entourage. It was filled with spectacle. They were on a giant horse. They were doing all these things. There was just stuff. And it kind of reminds me, like, there's probably movies that do it, but since we're a Disney family, I usually think of Aladdin coming in. And then Prince Ali, you know, and he's just like on the elephant doing his little thing. And I'm like, when kings would enter cities, like that's what it would be. It would be like, I am here. I am present. Look at what I am. And the city would be in an uproar. But Jesus, the King of Kings, the ultimate King, the Savior, slipped in on a donkey. Just kind of like, he has a following. But he knows that is not the spectacle. The spectacle is to come. And he chose to ride in a way. It's like, I am the king that they don't know I am. But they think I'm the king that they want me to be. But he doesn't come in. He's not elevated above the crowd on a high mount. He's not surrounded by anything that would force people to step back, like guards or an army. He just is humbly sitting on a colt. And as he sits there, everything about how he is entering the city is now visible. Anyone watching this moment can see it, that Jesus is choosing to come in this way. Even his disciples. And people are about to respond to what they see in verse 8. Verse 8. Next slide. Child of mine. There we go. And so Jesus now is beginning to move down the road, and the crowd is going to be gathering, spread their cloaks on the road. They cut out branches, palm branches from trees, and they let them lay down in front of him because the king is entering. But it's the king that they want. His following is like, this is our king. They believe this is the moment of rescue. They call him the Son of David, which is the recognition of his king lineage, and they are declaring him as the one who carries the promise of restoration. And in that moment, they aren't wrong, but they aren't looking far enough. They aren't looking out enough. They are calling him king, but they are still defining what that means on their own terms. Because he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, he is king. And their praise is real, their hope is real, and their expectation is real. But underneath this, something is forming that they don't realize yet. They're praising him for what they believe he will do. and what they expect him to do based on their ideals. They think he's going to come overthrow the Rome. They think he's going to overthrow the kingdom and take rightful rule, but they don't expect him or fully understand what he's actually coming to do. And he continues moving towards the city. And Jerusalem in front of him, if we go to Luke 19, it says that he begins to weep. Jesus riding towards the city begins to weep. He says, even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. So it's just the section, it's not the whole verse, but he's saying that if you would know what is right before you, that I am right before you, but it is hidden from your eyes because you are seeing something else. They are asking for peace while rejecting the only way it will come. They are asking for peace from the Lord on their terms still, and the crowd is still shouting. His forward movement hasn't stopped, but he sees something that they don't. He's looking ahead to the cross. And in Matthew 21, verse 10, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Yeah, there we go. Whole city is stirred. Who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So the crowd is continuing to gather. The crowd is building. People hear it before they see him. The word is spreading. The whole city is reacting. And the crowd, it's not just that the crowd already wants what they think he should give them, but everyone around them is starting to stir and build this, not necessarily a commotion, but they are talking to each other. Who is this? What's happening? And it passes from one person to another. Like, we all know it. When you talk, when you're in a crowd or in, you know, rumors spread, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. It's ahead of the thing that is happening. And then when that person enters the room, sometimes it might be a bad thing. And you're like, and the room gets quiet and stuff like that. But this is this anticipation. They're like, Jesus. Jesus Christ. The one who was to come. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And they keep talking. And they keep saying this. And that question, who is this, is continually answered. And it's just passing from one person to another in this crowd. And watching those to understand what happens and what is unfolding in front of them. And then the crowd answers that this is Jesus. This is how they describe him. They describe him as the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, which we can read that and just kind of skim right over, but it shows us that they don't register. They're not seeing him as the king. They're not seeing him as the savior, but they're categorizing in this area that they know, the prophet. They gave him a name they recognize, something familiar. But these same voices are shouting, Hosanna. The same crowd celebrates with him. Will also struggle in just a few short days when his path leads to what they didn't expect. The same crowd that is shouting Hosanna right now and building this tension in a good way, a lot of ways, putting down these palm branches, putting down the cloaks, all this stuff going on, in a few short days, are going to see Jesus as someone that they didn't think was going to come in the way that they thought. Because the king that they thought they wanted is not the king that they're about to receive. So Jesus, and I think there's one more slide, the king we all needed. Jesus does not enter the city by accident. He's not being carried by this moment or shaped by what the crowd is saying. He specifically is coming. He walks into it knowing what they are saying and knowing what they expect of him. He hears them calling out, Hosanna. He hears them call him the Son of David. He doesn't stop them. He doesn't correct them in the moment. He just keeps moving. And even though he knows where this road is leading to, but the crowd is responding to what they see in front of them at the moment. But Jesus is responding to what he knows he is going towards in the coming days. And this reminds me, and I love how things just happen to line up, you know, because I'm going to be honest, when I stopped Acts to start Palm Sunday to go into Easter, guys, I'm not that smart. I was just like, here's how much we'll get through. It changed a couple times. We've had guest speakers. Things have changed. I decided to go a different route. All these little things added up to the end of Stephen and us closing this chapter to go into now what we're in right now. And I'm like, okay, God, I see this connection. Because in the same way, we can look at Stephen. When Stephen looked ahead, Stephen looked beyond what the crowd was doing. When Stephen was being stoned, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And now we have Jesus. We come back a little bit, but Jesus in the same way, walking through this city, people are seeing him as, today is the day, this is going to happen, the king has come, he is going to overthrow, he's going to rule, we're good, this is going to be a thing. But Jesus sees ahead. He sees where he's going. He knows what's about to happen. And he knows what they do not know. Because the crowd is responding to what they see. They see a king and they are ready for something to change now. They are ready for things to be set in the right way that makes sense to them. But he moves forward. Jesus moves through the city, through all this questioning people. And he doesn't shift his direction. He's focused. He knows what he's going towards. Because the same Jesus they are praising here is the one who will keep walking through the crowd when the crowd's tone will change. He will keep moving forward when the expectations of him fall apart. And he will not turn away to what is in front of him that he knows he is going towards, which is the cross. Because what they do not see is that they are the rescue that they are thinking that they are asking for is from Rome. But the rescue that they all truly need is from sin. So he's not entering to take the throne by force. He's entering and moving towards a cross where he can take the weight of sin on himself. The king they are praising is the king who will give his life in their place so that they can be forgiven and brought back to their Savior, to God. Because there's no other way for this to happen. There's no other way but through Christ. And that's just not what he was doing then, because he sees forward. It's what he's offering us now, continually offering us. If you see him clearly, like let's say Stephen does, you see not just as the king you want, but as the king who gave himself for you, the king whose response is to turn, save us, and then ask us to trust him, to follow him as he truly is. And he gives us that chance to respond to that even now. And they don't see it yet. And when you look back at Stephen standing there asking for forgiveness instead of calling for judgment, it starts to connect, because this comes from what Jesus is about to do when he asks for forgiveness for what they are about to do. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are about to do. And because of what Jesus has done, we can take this time to honestly ask ourselves, how do we respond? He does not leave us the same. When you follow him, when he shapes your life, when you follow Christ, he does not leave you the same way. As you follow him, he does not leave you the same. He changes you. how you respond. He changes how you live. He changes how you react. He changes how you look at life. He changes every aspect of you. And then when someone follows him long enough to see it clearly, it begins to shape us continually. As we change on the first day, when we accept Christ into our hearts, when we know that he is our Lord and Savior and he died on that cross for our sins, what he is walking into, we believe that, we acknowledge it. From that moment, we're changed. But then we have a continuation. We continually walk through that. So because of what Jesus has done this week, we should take the time to honestly ask ourselves, how do we respond to this? Ask yourselves where you may be holding your own expectations of who Jesus is supposed to be in your life, rather than understanding that Jesus is the king you didn't expect. That Jesus came to save you from a life you didn't know you need saving from. And when we're asking ourselves, Lord, why aren't you doing this for me? Why is this not happening? Why is my life not changing? Why am I not getting, like, this area in my life isn't getting better? Maybe we should ask ourselves, are we expecting the wrong things from our Savior? When we should be understanding what he came to do was to save us from our own sin, from our own life, that we couldn't do on our own accord. It was through him only. And he stepped into that and continues for it. So throughout the week, and I'm going to invite the worship team back up. Throughout the week, I encourage all of us to walk through this moment. Continue reading Matthew 21. If you don't want to do that, I mean, I would love for you guys to do that. But at the same time, last year I posted a walk through Holy Week, and I'm going to post it again. And it's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's actually on our church website. I'm going to post them again to our Facebook page. And if you want to, I invite you to take the time each day to watch the couple minute video so we continue to walk with Jesus through Holy Week. What is happening, to what is going on up until the crucifixion, Good Friday, Silent Saturday, being quiet. And then when we come back together next Sunday to praise God for Jesus Christ rising on the third day and conquering sin. Amen. So I encourage you to do that this week. It's called a walk through Holy Week. You'll see it on Facebook and on the church website if you want. Check it out. It definitely will help you get to next week when we jump back in on Easter. All right? But the question is, how would you respond? What kind of king are you expecting Jesus to be in your life? Are you putting expectations to him in your life? Or do you realize the kind of king that he came to be, which was humble, in a servant mentality, to save us from something we really didn't know we need saving from in the first place? Amen? Let's pray.